The other topics for Marriage Month, I think, were pretty self-explanatory, restoring the love and finding the purpose and conquering the enemies. But I think that this topic has been a little bit confusing, and I probably could have done a better job with the title. When I talk about a team for your marriage, building a team for your marriage, I mean, I'm trying to address the question, who is helping you with your marriage? Who is giving you input? From whom are you learning? Who influences your marriage? There's been some times when I've played basketball at the park over here when I've had some lousy team members. Of course, I'm in a fortunate situation here because none of them are here to say the same thing about me. Sometimes you get a ball hog who thinks he can shoot when he really can't. I remember one night when we estimated that one guy on our team had taken maybe 25 shots and made about three. I remember one night when sometimes you get a big man who just doesn't understand basketball, and he's just standing under the basket getting in the way. He doesn't set screens. He doesn't get rebounds. He doesn't move. Now, having lousy team members makes for a frustrating night of basketball. And that's an okay illustration for us when we start talking about building a team for a marriage. But we might be better to think of maybe like we're like a group of Army Rangers on patrol in enemy territory, and the soldier who's supposed to have your back lies to you about what he sees and shoots at your men and generally acts like the enemy. And some people have teammates like that for their marriage. The people that are influencing their marriage, the people that are giving input in their marriage, are doing damage, not helping. And in light of the incredible significance of marriage as a billboard for the glory of God, and in light of the terrible problems that are destroying Christian marriages, the last thing we need is teammates who are doing damage. So let's talk about building the right kind of team for your marriage. This is a message for each of us individually, but it's also a message for us as a church. Because we want to build a kind of atmosphere here at Grace that builds great marriages. We want Grace to be part of a team that builds great marriages. Now, I want us to start in the book of Proverbs. Because the right team doesn't do any of us any good if we aren't willing to admit that we need it. Proverbs has a lot of instruction about receiving instruction. Why don't you start with me in Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, then we'll go back to the beginning, look at some others earlier in the book. Proverbs 23, look at verse 23. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. How much do you want to know the truth? Are you willing to have someone tell you the truth about how you're treating your wife or how you're treating your husband? Solomon exhorts you to do anything you have to do to get the truth. He says, buy it. Spend the price. And here's the thing. We would often spend money, maybe, but we don't want to spend our reputation in order to be told the truth. We won't spend our pride in order to be told the truth. And Solomon says, buy truth. And don't sell it. Get it. Go back to chapter 4. Look at 4:13. He says, take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Take hold of it. Grab hold of any instruction you can get. And don't let go once you get it. Flip over to chapter 9. Look at verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. Just back a few verses. Look at chapter 8, verse 33. 8:33 says, heed instruction, and be wise. And do not neglect it. Flip ahead to chapter 13. And look at verse 13:18. Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline or instruction, but he who regards reproof will be honored. The man who is willing to pay attention to reproof, the man who is willing to let someone point out weaknesses and sins and errors in his life, that man will be honored. Look ahead at chapter 17. Chapter 17, we want to look down at verse 10. A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. See, a wise man just needs someone to point out the wrong decision, the wrong thinking, and he learns and he changes. A fool has to be beaten before he'll get it. A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Flip ahead to chapter 27. These verses may be a little more familiar. 27 verses 5 and 6. Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. And then look at 29 verse 1. 29:1. A man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy. Now I want you to go over to chapter 3 of the book of Hebrews. You turn to Hebrews 3 with me. Because the author of Hebrews hits on the same idea of our need to receive instruction. Be willing to be taught. Be willing to be exhorted. Hebrews 3, look at verse 13. It says, encourage one another day after day, as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That word encourage one another day after day, has stronger meaning than the English word encourage. It includes the idea of exhorting, of warning, of challenging, as well as encouraging. Exhort one another day after day, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. See, sin deceives, and a deceived person doesn't know it. That's the point of deception. You're making wrong decisions, or you have a wrong view, or you're off track, and you don't know it. You are absolutely persuaded that your way is right when it's not. That's what it means to be deceived. And sin brings deception. And it's because of that that you need other people to exhort you. You need other people to show you your error, to show you your sin, because they may be able to see what you can't see. Encourage, exhort one another every day so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Listen to rebuke. Get all the instruction you can get. Don't harden your neck against that reproof. Now, if you're willing to learn, if you're willing to admit that you can use help, who should you be learning from? Kind of the central question, who should be on your team? Well, this is so basic, it seems a little simplistic, but first of all, God. Obviously, nobody's on your team more than God is. Nobody is more committed to your marriage. Nobody loves you more than God does. And nobody is right about marriage more often than God. As a matter of fact, he's never been wrong. And sometimes we'll read all kinds of books about marriage and go to seminars and watch videos, and all those things can be good. But if we've not ever taken our Bible and searched out everything God has to say about marriage, we're blowing it. We have to start with God's perfect wisdom. In any area of your life, your first goal in receiving instruction should be to search out everything God has to say. Because he's never wrong. But have you done that with marriage? Have you searched out what the Bible has to say? Now, I've tried to help us with this. You should have gotten in your worship guide a bookmark-shaped piece of cardstock that has just a whole bunch of verses on it. That is a study sheet on marriage from the Bible. That's a whole, from Genesis to Revelation, it's a whole list of verses to help you study everything God has to say about marriage. I don't promise you I got them all. There are probably some things I missed. But that list of, 25 or 30 verses is a great place to start in searching out what God has to say. So first of all, listen to God. He's the one who's always right. Now, we take an infinite step downward, but still, it is important for us also to learn from our spouse. And that's the next person on the list. Are you willing to receive instruction about your marriage from your spouse? Are you willing to learn from them about marriage? Are you willing to let him or her tell you what you can do better? And then receive that instruction rather than saying, yeah, well, I may have my issues, but you sure need to... Here's a little test for you. When I said, are you willing to let him or her tell you what you can do better? Did you think, oh, yeah, my spouse sure needs to learn to listen to me. That's right. Preach it. Or did you think, you know what? I do need to learn from my spouse. I do need to listen. This is lacking from so many marriages, the humility to let your spouse tell you what you can do better. Your spouse is, humanly speaking, probably the most important person from whom you should be learning. Then we need to learn from other couples. This just means being willing to learn from one another. Sometimes we just need to listen more than we talk. And I'm not necessarily suggesting that you air all of your dirty laundry, but don't be afraid to admit weakness and to ask questions. We've said over and over that we don't want to be a church where we just gloss over problems. But that means not just we're willing to admit our struggles, but that we ask for help. And that we're willing to say to other people, hey, how do you do this? What has God taught you in this area? Have you ever struggled with this? For almost all of us here in this church, there's at least one couple that knows less about Christian marriage than we do, and at least one couple that knows more, which means that all of us can be helping others and all of us can be learning. So be willing to ask questions and learn from one another. Then other men or other women need to be on our team as well. And will you turn with me to 1 Peter 3? 1 Peter 3. Look down at verse 7. I want to show us this phrase here right toward the end of the verse. Men, this is for us. Show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Show your wife honor. Men, I want to challenge us when we are together. Let's create an environment in which when we speak of our wives, we always speak with honor. The problem is that's not the natural tendency for us. Our natural tendency is to speak with very little honor. And I'm not saying guys always talk like that, but unfortunately it's a common problem with men. And here at Grace, in our relationships as men and in all of your relationships with men, demand that we speak about our wives with honor. When we're in a group with our wives, men, we should demand from each other that we treat our wives with honor. We should all know that if we treat our wife dishonorably in the presence of another man from this church, we're going to hear about it. So, men, let's create an environment of honor toward our wives. Now, turn over to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, and look at verse 33. Ladies, I think here's the directive for you. The wife must see to it that she respects her husband. If men struggle to speak with honor, women, I think, struggle to speak with respect. In other words, they're tempted to criticize or complain about their husbands to other women. Ladies, the same thing I said about men and honor are true in respect for you. Create an environment here where respect is demanded when you speak of your husbands. Create an environment, men, where honor is demanded when we speak of our wives. So men, ladies, be teammates for your marriages. So God, our spouse, other couples, and other men and women, those are all good, positive team members for your marriage. And of course, like I said before, God is infinitely above the others in that list. But the others are important too. Now, I suggested in the introduction that some marriages have plenty of damaging team members. Let's go back to Proverbs because it gives us some good wisdom about who we don't want on our team. Look at Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Notice that the influence of walking with wise men is you learn some of their wisdom. And the influence of being a companion of fools is you get some of their judgment. Look at chapter 14, verse 7. It says, leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern words of knowledge. Notice the appropriate course of action when you're around someone who does not speak with God's wisdom. leave their presence, lest you learn from them. Look at chapter 22, and it gives us a specific example. Chapter 22, look down at verses 24 and 25. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. This emphasizes that we are affected by exposure to the lives of ungodly people. We cannot assume that we will not be affected. It's not true. Let's just remind ourselves of Psalm 1 again. So will you turn back there to Psalm 1? Psalm 1, look at verse 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. See, how blessed is the man who gets away. He gets away from the counsel of the wicked. He doesn't hang out in the path of sinners. Don't let people who don't have biblical wisdom pour their human wisdom into your thoughts. The principle here is simple. Flee from people who don't have godly wisdom, or else you will learn their foolish ways. Now let's talk about how this applies to our marriage team. First of all, this applies to our friends. Men, you may have friends who will not give honor to their wives. And Proverbs says that if you continue to be in their presence, you will learn that from them. You will learn not to honor your wife. If you go to lunch with guys who talk trash about their wives or women in general, you will find yourself bringing some of those attitudes home. Ladies, you might have girlfriends who like to get together and bash their husbands. Proverbs says, leave their presence. Challenge them to change, and if they won't, that needs to be it. Your marriage is far too precious. For the sake of the glory of God in your own marriage, run away from people who push you to dishonor or disrespect your spouse. So this applies to our friends. Secondly, this applies to what we read. And I could say a lot of different things here, but certainly if you're reading romance novels and filling your thoughts with stories of glorified infidelity and adultery, that's going to affect you. But even seemingly harmless reading sources can present unbiblical lies and distortions. You know, Reader's Digest would not be at the top of most people's list of most dangerous media. But I just saw this week, the current issue of Reader's Digest has an article with this headline. The Science of a Happy Marriage. By nature, men and women aren't made for each other. How to outsmart our DNA and live happily ever after. Now that sounds really cute, but it's a lie. It's not the truth. Men and women are made by God for each other. And their different life orientations merge wonderfully if you just live life God's way. And suggesting that the problem is our DNA is just another convenient way to dodge the real issues, just like we talked about last week. And this doesn't give you any hope, because if the problem is DNA, what can you do about it? Do they really think you're going to outsmart your genetic makeup? That's absurd. But even more seriously than those things, there's an obvious conclusion to be drawn from this idea. Why put in all the work to outsmart your DNA? If you're not really made to fit with women, why not be a homosexual? Then you won't have the problem. See that? So I'm not exaggerating to say that there are lies about marriage right there in Reader's Digest. Psalm 1:1 says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And then this applies to what we watch. And I know I touch the sacred cow when I go here. But are you exposing yourself to ungodly thinking about marriage in the name of entertainment? Is there discontent breeding in you because you're exposing yourself to entertainment where the supermodel always ends up in the arms of the super hunk, and the romance is always great, and the love is always passionate, and adultery is always expected? Are you filling your minds with sitcoms where words like honor and respect are just jokes at best? Do you think these things don't influence us? Let me read you part of an editorial that a lady wrote in World Magazine 2 weeks ago. She wrote, nobody ever wakes up one morning and decides to become an adulteress. There appears one day a thought that wasn't there before, a whisper in the heart of disappointment, discontentment, add the chemistry of idleness and afternoon soap operas, the unrelenting barrage of unthinkable suggestions that become suddenly thinkable, and your best friend's well-meant counsel, you deserve better than him. There's this man at the gym. They talk. His marriage has been failing for some time. He says, I can really talk to you. She says, if we had only met when I was free. He says, I had a dream about you last night. She says, I'm attracted to you, but it's not right. Not exactly slamming the door. The question is left dangling. Every weak protest draws the inevitable closer. You see that? The unrelenting barrage of unthinkable suggestions that become suddenly thinkable. How do they become thinkable? Because we put ourselves right in the face of that unrelenting barrage of them. Beware of the team that is influencing your marriage. The friends, the books, the magazines, the movies, the sitcoms, the soaps. The things that are making the unthinkable seem suddenly thinkable. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. This is a very simple message for us. First, let's be humble and learn. Receive instruction in every area of life, but in our marriages. Learn everything you can from the Word. Learn from your spouse. Learn from other couples. Otherwise, you'll be hardened. You'll be deceived. You'll be broken, Proverbs says. And let's create an environment of honor and respect here so that we're a church body that builds each other's marriages. Then, flee from people who don't have godly wisdom. Flee from entertainment where there isn't godly wisdom, or else you will learn their foolish ways.